Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 104. Scott, it is our two-year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Scott. Even though I've known you for 38 years, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Yeah, what is the second-year anniversary present? I know like 10 years is like, what, dishware or something like that? Like 50 is silver. What's the two-year? Is it a Hasbro figure loose?
It's a basic.
Oh, it's a basic? Okay, gotcha. Got loose, yeah. Or on the card?
Yeah, loose. It's still the new phase, you know, kind of the,
Okay. Yeah, still not sure yet. Testing the water still. Maybe 5 years we'll do Elite.
Yeah. 5 years will be Elite. 10 years will be a carded. 10 years will be a defining moment.
Okay, gotcha. And the Elite won't be like Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family gear.
Oh.
Like the basic one that everybody found. Like, it'll be a nice Elite.
That's probably still on shelves in the Midwest.
Yeah, there might be some floating around the Central Valley out here, too.
The best way you can support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net. And Scott, I am turning it over to you. Don West, introduce our new shirt.
Yes, our new shirt is entitled Wrestle Figure Fest. And it is Jeff and I basically in the Wrestle Fest game, coming to the ring in a ring cart with the Saturday Night's logo main event on the front, or I should say Saturday Night's main event logo font on the front, but it says Fully Posable Figure Podcast on the front of it. It's Jeff as Ultimate Warrior with his arms raised. It's me as Hogan with my ear cupped. We got the crowd going wild. We've got the WFP logo behind us where the WWF logo would normally hang on the curtain. It looks awesome. It's like we're in the game. It's got Fully Posable all over it. I'm Hogan, Jeff's Warrior. It looks awesome. Mine's already on order. I can't wait to get it. It was an early birthday gift from my mother-in-law. Hopefully she's not listening to know that I already know that she ordered that for me. but yes, I've already got mine on order and cannot wait to get it. It's a good January shirt. The Royal Rumble's right around the corner, man. You need something to rock to that event.
Absolutely. And which color did you go with? Because you can choose from five different colors. Black, white,
royal. Dude.
What'd you do?
You know I'm the run-of-the-mill mark. Black shirt, man.
Oh, you went black, huh?
Of course.
I went royal blue.
Oh, not Indigo, huh?
No, I was hoping that it would look good on Indigo, but when I was testing it, it didn't look good on Indigo, so.
It does look good on the Royal Blue, though.
Yeah, I love it on the Royal Blue. So
nice pick.
It goes black, white, Royal Blue, Navy, and a gray color. So you got five colors to choose from. Again, Wrestling Figure Fest just came out, whatamaneuver.net. And if you don't want that shirt, go pick up the Classically Jacked or the Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, this one comes in from K Dunlap 53. The title of this one is excellent. He said, "You'd think a full hour or more long podcast about wrestling toys would be boring, but these guys are so good. Two real brothers who grew up in the LJN and Hasbro wrestling figure days. They do so much in this 1 hour. They have segments devoted to types of figures, good and bad, and they talk so much wrestling in general. It's a very entertaining podcast, and it's one I make sure I listen to first every Monday morning. Also, they are family friendly, which I love. These guys got me into the wonderful world of superstar signings and paint pens." Thank you, K Dunlap 53. We appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. And actually, we would not be family friendly if it wasn't for our dad giving some early on advice. I guess I dropped too many F-bombs in the first few episodes. Dad gave his input on that, didn't like it. And at that point, we pretty much became family friendly. There was no need for the explicit warning anymore on the front of our CDs that came out. So yeah, family friendly, but thank you for the kind words. We truly appreciate it.
Yeah, I still remember Dad. I think I said this in episode 100, but I still remember Dad going, "It's a good show, but Scott says the S word too much." And I'm like, "Oh, that's what we're going off of?" And he goes, "But it's a good show. You guys are well-spoken, but you need to turn down the cursing a little bit. It's kind of hard to listen to Scott say the S word." I was like, "Okay, we'll turn down the S word, I guess."
Hey, sometimes there's that figure, though, that really requires the S word. But I pull it back now. I yank on the reins a little bit, pull myself back in, compose myself, if you will.
Well, good job, dude.
Thank you. And thank you for the kind words. That was really nice.
Yes. You can email us any questions, comments, audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, Hasbro shirt update. Go for it.
Yes. You've all been sketched. Everybody that all 21 that sent in their money, that sent in their picture and their design idea, you have been sketched. A few of you have seen sneak peeks, and I'm proud to report 100% positive feedback. Everybody is just thrilled with the designs. Jason Wolf has absolutely knocked it out of the park. What's being worked on right now is the card back. So obviously, you know, the borders, the logos, everything being slapped on the back that's going to dance around each of you as a Hasbro figure. Again, this is Series 1. Don't worry, there will be a Series 2. I've already locked in Jason Wolf for the Series 2 shirt. So moving forward, he will be our Hasbro guy for this type of shirt. Another thing I wanted to mention to you guys, I'm working with Jason, or I should say Jeff and I are working with Jason on designs after the shirt. So if you guys wanted to do something like a full color print, because obviously this is going to be fully black and white, if you guys wanted to get a hold of Jason and request a full color, we can work that out too. We're kind of going all over all the details with Jason right now, but we'll have more news on that over the next few weeks. Just trying to get the full shirt knocked out. All the listeners have been sketched. The card back is in process. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if before this drops on Sunday, if like Thursday or Friday morning, I've got a rough sketch of what the full card is going to look like. So this thing is like a week or two away from being fully 100% done. But once that's done, then we'll work out the details to you guys to get a hold of Jason and get like a full color print done. Or, you know, if you want a couple of guys on a print, whatever, we can work that out afterwards. We're just kind of go over all the details with Jason now. But dude, so far, he sent me a couple of shots of the back of the card, like little logos and whatnot that he's throwing in. Just blown away. There's just going to be a whole bunch of little fully posable and listener Easter eggs thrown in there. It's just going to be really cool. I can't wait until the finished product is out there and we can actually show the listeners the done deal.
You have done so well on this, man. I'm impressed how well you and Jason are working together.
Dude, honestly, it's just been a fun process. It really has. Like once we locked in Jason as the guy, communication has been really easy. He's very responsive. A few listeners sent in, "Hey, could he do something like this on my figure?" And Jason just made it happen. The dude is just super, super talented. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at JasonWLF. In fact, he mentioned that a lot of you have already started to follow him and reach out to him, which I truly appreciate. All the business that we can drive his way, I want to do it. And I forgot to mention earlier with the WrestleFest shirt that we just put up, that was at Extra Cooler's work, and he just knocked that one out of the park. So don't forget about him too, man. Reach out to Extra Cooler. We're going to keep him in the hopper for some future shirts. We've got a few ideas that we're kind of knocking around, but we'll get the WrestleFest shirt out. That's done. The Hasbro shirt, I'm thinking February, March, maybe at the latest, but definitely before WrestleMania. And then maybe June, July, we'll have another design idea in the hopper.
And then stay tuned because later on this year, we will be doing Series 2 of the Hasbro shirt.
Absolutely. And we will have Jason Wolf doing that one as well. The one thing that I did want to mention, though, is if you haven't paid your $20 yet, please PayPal at fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. $20, friends and family. And we'll get that money sent over to Jason Wolf to get everybody paid up. And like I said, that shirt is going to be done by March at the latest. But I'm thinking we should have kind of a rough design ready to go by like next week or the week after. It's coming along really, really nice.
Good job on that, Scott. You and Jason both. Good job.
Thanks, man. Yeah, and please, listeners, at JasonWLF. That's the guy you want for your Hasbro stuff. Extra Cooler as well. At Extra Cooler, they both do amazing work on the Hasbros. Go check them out.
And Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
No, I was super lame, dude. We just had stuff going on. I didn't make it out of the house very much, so I literally have zero toy spotting to report.
I've got nothing going on over here either. Everybody was finding Elite 54 with the Charlotte and the Usos and
yeah,
Cena, that series. Nothing to report. But I'm going to Colorado this weekend.
Oh, that's your good luck spot.
That is my good luck spot. So I'm hoping to have better news this, or for next show, I should say.
Yeah, that's good. You're taking Toy Spotting International. I love that.
I know. I'm going over the Rockies. I'm going international. Can't wait.
Love it.
So I'm going to get that Rocky Mountain high and go toy spotting.
Yeah, drink some Diet Coke. Get crazy.
Oh, dude. No, I'm going. I'm going to be drinking real Coke, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is a Christmas party, dude. This is going to get cray cray. Scott, we've got some news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, Basic 83 was announced. Kurt Angle, he's in his GM outfit. That's a good scan on Kurt Angle. I thought they did a really good face scan on him.
Good for a basic, for sure.
Triple H, he's in his wrestling outfit, or wrestling trunks, I should say. You were mentioning his hair.
That looks funky, doesn't it? I don't know what they did different. It's just, it doesn't look good. Something, they just did something different. I don't know what they did. It just doesn't look like any other Triple H hair I've seen on a figure.
It's basic. I'm passing. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a pass anyway. We won't dwell on it.
Ty Dillinger, good Ty Dillinger scan.
Yeah, for a basic.
I'm waiting for the Elite.
Yes, for sure.
Randy Orton, he'll be in his blue RKO t-shirt. And Alicia Fox. Good Alicia Fox. Again, waiting for the Elite with her sailor outfit.
Yeah, for a basic, it is a really, really good Alicia Fox. That's another one that they seem to capture really well. Last basic that they came out with that had that weird hat thingy on, or animal headdress thing, whatever that was a really good Alicia Fox. So some they can really get, and then you've got your WTFs like Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. Hit or miss?
Hall of Champions were shown on card. I want to say that the packaging on these Hall of Champions is amazing.
It's really, really well done.
So it's a blue card, and in the background behind the wrestler, it has a wall of titles. It looks like ring skirts kind of wall.
Yeah, or if you've ever been to Access, when they have all those titles on display in that like maze of world titles, that's what it kind of looks like. It's just a bunch of titles shown on the background. It looks really, really cool.
I think somebody from Mattel snuck into Ring Skirts Wrestle Cave and took a picture of all his belts.
Very possibly, and then Ring Skirts didn't tell us about it, and here's the surprise.
Exactly, but great job on the card. I think that's one of the best cards that's one of the best packagings I think I've ever seen. It just really captures, it really pops.
Yeah, it does. I agree with you on that. And for them calling it Hall of Champions, it just makes total sense, and it's a win with the packaging. You're 100% right.
Ministry Undertaker, I'm purchasing that one. Love that figure.
Pass for me.
You're passing?
I don't like it. I wasn't a fan of the whole Ministry thing. It wasn't one of my favorites. It's like my least favorite Undertaker gimmick. It's an easy pass for me.
Oh, wow. They did so well on that figure. It's my favorite out of all of the four that they're going to be releasing.
And see, I usually go along with you. On this one, I completely disagree. I really don't like that Undertaker at all. I saw it and immediately just cringed. I was like, oh, not my favorite.
Was it just because of the gimmick?
I think so. I just don't like the figure. I can't put my finger on why. I just saw it and I was like, oh, no, I don't. Don't care for it at all. It does come with the tag title. That's cool. But just that's an easy pass for me.
We should say the old school WWF tag title.
Correct. The old school one from like the mid to late 90s.
Eddie Guerrero, Cruiserweight Championship. He'll be in his white singlet and tights from his Cruiserweight division in WCW.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, that's a good figure.
Yes. Awesome figure.
This is the Batista with the world title and the WrestleMania 21 contract.
Yep.
And Rikishi with robe and IC title.
Really, really, really well done. Looks to be a cloth robe, not molded. Well done, Mattel. That's a great Rikishi figure.
Also, there is a rumor. It's no pictures or anything have been shown, but it's a rumor. And we want to thank a gentleman on Twitter, at VintageJacksBCA. He's been tagging us in some stuff that he's found, and we appreciate that. Hall of Champions 2-pack Series 2 rumor. They're talking about a Bret and Shawn.
Oh, my.
Yeah, right? And they're also talking about a revival. And that one kind of was like, what?
That's a really interesting choice so early in the series. I mean, you think of all the great rivalries for belts. And not only a revival, not a rival of each other. They're a tag team. So... I mean, I guess they would come with the NXT belts, but I could see these being easy re-releases. If this rumor is true, I could see Mattel doing something like that. But my fingers surely are crossed on that Shawn and Bret Hart. That would be amazing.
And I am going to put an asterisk at the end of these two rumors that this is just a rumor. Card subject to change. Like when you go to a house show and you get the program and it has the list of matches, there's always that little asterisk down at the below that says... Card subject to change.
Right, like when you think you're going to get Ric Flair versus Ultimate Warrior, but in fact, you get Undertaker versus Nails. Something of that nature.
Are you still bitter about that?
A little. A little. Yeah, it was 30 years ago. I don't care.
And the main event ended up being Bret Hart versus Rick Martel.
Ugh.
Yeah, that match was over pretty quick.
Yeah, thankfully. So we can go home and cry into our tickets. We were supposed to get Warrior and Flair, darn it.
NXT Series 3 basics were shown, Scott. Xavier Woods, this is his NXT days where his hair's kind of matted down a little bit. He will be coming with one half of the NXT tag belts. Now, it's the old school NXT tag belts, not the current ones.
Yes, this looks like the Xavier that came out with R-Truth in that battle pack.
Right, right. Billie Kay, she'll be coming with the NXT Women's Championship.
Yes, she will. And unfortunately, no Peyton Royce. Very disappointing, but that's okay. I'm sure she's coming out soon.
Roderick Strong, he will be coming with the other NXT Tag Team Championship belt.
Yep.
Triple H, he'll be in a suit this time, and he'll be carrying around the NXT original heavyweight championship that Seth Rollins held, Big E, Bo Dallas, those guys.
Yep.
And last but not least will be Paige with the NXT Women's Championship, the old school NXT Championship.
Yeah, I like what they added color on them, and I like that.
Yeah, I did too. Now, when you looked at the pictures and you zoomed in on them, they didn't look like basic belts except for the one that came with Triple H.
Dude, I did the same thing. I had to zoom in like, are those elite belts that are coming with basics? But they're not. But they did add color, so it actually does throw you off a little bit. So if you wanted some more colorful NXT belts, here you go. Crack these bad boys open and you got them.
Scott, they also showed to be released as part of Series 2. The Gargano and Ciampa figures on card.
Yeah, they're not coming as a battle pack, unfortunately, like we all kind of thought that they would. They're actually going to be considered part of the NXT Series 2 basics, and they'll be coming out individually, and they look fantastic. Those are absolute for sure purchases for me. Hopefully, I'm able to find Authors of Pain to go with them. Still hunting.
You can't find one without the other, huh?
No, and I can't buy one without the other because my luck is I'll never find the other one, and I'm stuck with a half of a tag team. I hate that. It must be some wrestling figure OCD going on or something, but can't have half a tag team.
Ciampa's an early front runner for Basic of the Year already. How well they did on that Ciampa.
Absolutely 100% is fully in the running for a Basic of the Year award. Looks fantastic. Yep. Gargano looks really good too.
Scott, Funko news. Do you want to go into it? Do you want to break the exciting news?
Yes, this is great news because a few podcasts ago, I actually had the month wrong apparently, or the announced month. They had to run a little bit late on it, but Funko Pops, Hot Topic exclusive Young Bucks will be released in July. Variants will be available everywhere in August.
I can't wait for those, dude.
I had heard May originally. It looks like they got pushed back, but for sure by July, we'll have the exclusive Hot Topic Young Bucks, and then the variants will be everywhere in August. These are going to be awesome, and dude, you've got to put money on them having the money tights.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a no-brainer, right?
Oh, yeah. That has to be. I mean, the variant I'm figuring is probably their black jackets with the tassels and...
Yes.
Maybe green tights?
Yeah, you could do that. Or the one that's like the Young Bucks all over it, like just their faces.
Yeah.
That would be awesome, too, if they could pull that off. But, dude, could you imagine the two-pack of these? They're going to be in their little flexing pose.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Kind of leaning into each other. I'm going to have to redo my Funko window.
No doubt. No doubt. Are you buying one or two sets of these?
Let's see what happens when we get to July.
There you go. Yeah, if you've recovered from NOLA yet.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I'm so excited about this. I mean, just think of all the other independent guys that are going to be getting Funkos too. You know, Kenny Omega, he's got to have a Funko coming.
Oh, for sure. Dude, Okada.
Well, he's under that New Japan banner, and I don't know if New Japan has signed any deals with Funko.
Good point. Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, Cody could do it. Absolutely.
Yep, Cody could do it. Dude, if we got Joey Ryan and Candice, that would be so sick.
Just doing a little wish list over here.
Yeah, I think 2018 is going to be a good year for more indie figures, be it Funko Pops, be it FTC. I think it's going to be a good year all around.
Scott, we are going to hit up our nostalgia segment, Unmatched Fury Series 9. I think it's time we get into this.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 9. What you got?
Yes, sir. Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 9 consisted of Finley, and he was packaged with his shillelagh. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And he had kind of one arm up in the air. You could put the shillelagh in that hand, and the other arm was tucked down so he could hold the next figure in the assortment, which was Hornswoggle. And for some strange reason, there were two Hornswoggles in the package. And he was kind of walking along, and he had his like hat kind of thrown up in the air like he was saluting.
Uh-huh.
But there were two of them.
What I'm thinking is they packaged one that you could pose with Finley and one that you could just keep away from Finley or something like that.
Or if you didn't buy Finley, you could give one to a friend.
Or you packaged one with Vince McMahon.
Oh, good point. Or just give away one on Halloween.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up and says trick or treat, here's a Hornswoggle figure, kid. Now beat it. Very confusing, but there's two of them. You basically, if you open up Finley, you can take one of your Hornswoggles and put them with the Finley, and so he's kind of holding Hornswoggle in like a yep. celebratory pose. Third figure in the assortment, Bret Hart, and he is in his classic pose where he's got the arms like he's kind of, how would you describe it, Jeff? He's kind of like like the Fonz kind of. He's got out to the side.
It was his arms out to the side pose that he would do when he would hit the hard camera and he would walk towards it and he would be in the ring.
Yeah, like kind of egging on the crowd a little bit.
Yep.
He had his jacket on too. Looked really, really good. And last but certainly not least in Unmatched Fury Series 9, Jake the Snake. And he was packaged with the snake around him, kind of holding the head out, kind of intimidating an opponent. And that rounds out Unmatched Fury Series 9.
Which one was your favorite?
Jake. Easily Jake.
It was Jake?
Oh, absolutely. That figure was perfect. I know you're going to say Brett, and Brett is 1A for me in this assortment, but I think Jake was so well done. I love the fact that he was holding the snake head at his opponent, which he would do like every time he pulled the snake out of the bag. Just, they captured Jake so well. That is my favorite figure in Series 9.
I can't argue that. Jake was really well done. Obviously, mine was Brett.
Of course.
This Brett was just amazing. If it wasn't for his Hasbro red card, this would be... I know it's a statue, and it's not technically an action figure, but this would be like my favorite Bret Hart piece ever if it wasn't for that red card Hasbro.
Yeah, I love the job that they did on Brett. I love the fact that they did his jacket on him. That just kind of gives it that extra something. And like I mentioned with Jake, they've captured kind of a signature pose with him with the snake kind of holding the head of his opponent. This is a signature Bret Hart pose. You saw it every time, like you said, when he hit the hard camera and he threw his hands at his side like he was kind of gesturing. They captured Bret in that moment. It's just perfect. The same goes for the Finley and the Hornswoggle. When Finley would win a match and Hornswoggle would jump into his arms and they'd celebrate, that's what they captured here. Just that's what Unmatched Fury did so, so well. And I know I've mentioned it every show we've done a throwback to these. But they captured these guys as signature moments. And if you're making a statue, that's all you can ask for. Like your Macho Man McFarlane, for example, from WrestleMania 5. They captured Macho Man in a signature pose. Well, Unmatched Fury did that with almost every figure that they made. Great assortment in this one.
Jake was really well done. I cannot argue that.
And for sure.
If somebody comes up to me like you just did and says, hey, Jake's my favorite in this assortment, I can't argue. It's like, I get it. I completely get it. I love how Hornswoggle and Finley, you could just put Hornswoggle in Finley's arms. I'm just basically reiterating what you just said. But that was the cool thing about them is there were certain, like the DX guys, Triple H and Michaels, you could pose them where Triple H is behind Michaels and Michaels is in his signature pose. and you could just create something from those two guys, like Swoggle, you know, being in Finley's arms. That's just what Unmatched Fury did, and they really thought outside the box on that one. And I know, what was the guy's name that used to lead the Jax line? Jeremy Potter?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Jeremy, he did so well on this and thinking outside the box of having statues and recreating a moment of somebody in a signature pose like Brett or Jake holding the snake. Just excellent and really well done by the creative team thinking outside the box like that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And we've kind of second-guessed some of the designs that they put on some of these guys, like Edge, for example, like Matt Hardy, like why they didn't have him doing something more with the Jeff Hardy figure. But they hit more often than they missed, and this particular series is definitely an example of 100% hit. Everyone here is great. Hornswoggle, you get your money's worth on a 2-for-1. Great series, really is. And again, Jake is my favorite, but Bret Hart is definitely another outstanding figure in this line.
I remember Hornswoggle being tough to find.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing Hornswoggle a lot.
I remember I found Bret right away, I found Jake right away, and I found Finley all the time.
Yeah.
But I've never found Hornswoggle until a few months after this line came out. And I remember going to Toys R Us in Hayward and walking in, and of course there's Finley, and I look over and there's a Hornswoggle kind of tucked away behind some toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up, like the rush of excitement of finding a rare figure because I couldn't find it. And then I'm like, I really don't need Hornswoggle, so.
Yeah. Dude, you got excited finding a Hornswoggle figure.
I know. It was one of those rare pieces. You know, it was like a...
Yeah, definitely.
What was the figure I was having a rough time finding earlier this year? Or actually, I should say earlier last year. I want to say it was...
Shinsuke Defining Moment? Finn Balor? Network exclusive?
No, I found the Finn, no problem. But the Shinsuke, that one was tough, man. I only saw that one time. And yeah. Luckily, the editor found it, too.
Yeah, that one was a tough spot, for sure.
Scott... Your secret question this week.
Is it really a secret? Are you sure I don't know what you're going to ask me?
Oh, come on now. You know I never share this with you.
That's true. I literally have no idea. You just totally catch me on the spot.
This one comes in from Ethan, one of our OG listeners. He has a ton of secret questions that I'm going to be spreading out through the next few weeks for you.
Oh, he's brought an avalanche of secret questions. Okay, so I'm Hogan with my chest pressed to the turnbuckle, you're Don Morocco holding my arms, and Ethan is King Kong Bundy delivering a series of avalanches to me. I got it. I've got the picture painted. I understand.
Nope, I actually think you're more like Jake Snake, and Ethan is like Earthquake.
And who are you? Just some dude sitting off to the side laughing about it?
No, I'm the referee on the outside saying, no, don't do it.
This is horrible. Don't. Stop.
Yeah. How dare you? How could you do this?
Knock it off.
Stop it, you guys.
Cut it out. I mean, keep going. This is great.
Let's get into your secret question. Scott, as mentioned, these questions that will be spread out over the next few weeks come from Ethan. So I'll do one question this week, have a different one for you next week, and then sprinkle in another one from Ethan. But Scott, Ethan's first question, if you could have one figure from FTC in Mattel scale and one figure from Mattel in FTC scale, who would be your picks? Mine would be Adam Cole in Mattel scale. Yes, I know it's coming. I just can't wait anymore. Insert Mark button.
I actually have quick answers for these, dude.
Already?
Yeah. Yeah, they were the first names that jumped into my head.
Okay, Ethan, I promise you we did not share these with Scott. The funny thing is Ethan sends these directly to Celeste, so to make sure that you don't see them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I had no idea on these, but knowing the FTC line like I do and knowing the Mattel line like I do, this one becomes real easy. First, I'll go, which one from Mattel would I like to have an FTC? Hands down is Cody Rhodes. I would love to see a Cody, maybe from the, and it's funny, we were talking about this in the break, the NJPW LA show. I would like to have the Cody from that show when he wrestled Okada. I would like have the jacket, the tights, the boots, everything. I could imagine that in an FTC form because it would be the cloth jacket or the material, like the faux leather jacket. I think that would be awesome looking, and I think FTC could do a great job on a Cody. So that would be my pick for a Mattel over to an FTC.
So what would be yours for a FTC over to a Mattel?
An Elite Chris Hero or Cassius Ohno.
Okay, I like what you're doing there.
Yeah, and I think it would be better served to maybe do alternate jerseys, because Chris Hero, you know how he wears the basketball jerseys. I think it would be awesome if they did cloth, not molded. Although, knowing Mattel, they would probably do a molded, almost like a tank top. But I think it would be cool to have a couple different jerseys in there with them.
Good call, dude.
Yeah, I'm sorry I made it so quick. But as soon as I heard the question, those were the first names that jumped into my head.
Okay, I actually like what you're doing there. For a Mattel over to an FTC. So considering the strength of FTC is they capture the clothing. So somebody that has a glorious robe, who can I go that has a glorious robe? Glorious robe.
I have one when I come out of the bathroom in the morning. But I would imagine you don't want an FTC figure of me in a robe.
No. Especially you in the morning when you're in the bathroom.
Right. Nobody wants that.
I really hope nobody does want that. Actually, you know what? I would love to see a Woken Matt Hardy in an FTC figure.
Oh, that's a really good call, dude. In the full garb and everything.
Yeah, although they haven't made a Matt Hardy in this character for a Mattel, I'm kind of picturing somebody in WWE in FTC form. So it'd probably be the Woken Matt Hardy.
That would be awesome. Like the long jacket, the full outfit, everything.
Because that's FTC's strong suit, is that they can capture outfits. They can capture clothing lines or, you know, just stuff like that. Like Rocky Romero's jacket, I thought they captured perfectly.
Yeah, Jay Lethal's jacket. You're right. FTC really brings it with their gear.
And from an FTC to a Mattel, I have to say Kenny Omega.
Oh, that's a good call, dude. But you'd get a long molded jacket.
That's true. It would take it away. I also want to say the Young Bucks, but again, that would take away from the cloth jacket.
Yeah, could you imagine if they put molded jackets on the Young Bucks in the Mattel line? Ugh. Like, good luck getting those back on if you ever took them off.
Good call. Who else would be good for the Mattel line?
I think Fish and Kyle O'Reilly in a battle pack.
You know what? I wouldn't say Fish, because FTC did such a great job on their Bobby Fish figure that the Mattel figure would be a disappointment.
Maybe. I thought Mattel got a little bit better on AJ when they put some character in his face. That put it, I think, a little more on par with what FTC did with AJ, which, by the way, AJ is sold out. I think that Mattel could do a pretty good job with Fish. Probably not as good as FTC did. It might take them a couple of go-arounds, but I think Mattel could do a decent job with a Bobby Fish. Just don't give him that bland expression. Like, get his mouth open to show off the mouth guard. Like, give it some character.
Yeah. I think Ethan had a good one with Adam Cole.
Oh, no doubt, dude. No doubt.
I'm going to stick with Kenny Omega. I would like to see what they do with Kenny Omega and how they would put their own twist on it.
Yeah, it would probably be pretty sweet.
So, Scott, that is Ethan's first question of many to come.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry I made the answer so quick. Just as soon as I heard it, I immediately had two names.
That's crazy, dude. Like, you answered that like you knew the question was coming.
I swear I did not. I swear I didn't. But Cody's an obvious answer because he's a guy that's on the indie scene now. Well, indie, you know, he's an ROH and he's in a JPW. But he's a guy that FTC realistically could get a hold of and make figures of. So that's an easy answer for me because, you know, no longer in WWE. And I think Mattel would do a great job. I can't wait to see a Chris Hero figure. And I'm hoping at SDCC this year they do show it. But I would really like to see a couple different jerseys in an Elite Chris Hero. But I think we're going to have to wait a bit on an Elite. I would imagine his first figure out of the chute is going to be a basic.
I agree with you. So, Scott, that is Ethan's question this week.
Thank you, Ethan.
We are going to round it out with the listener segment this week. What you think?
I love it. Let's do it.
S- got the earlier we mentioned Ring Skirt's name, and I think we're going to mention his name right now as he just sent in his audio submission.
What's up, Scott and Jeff? Fully Posable Podcast. Ring Skirts, aka Nate here, coming at you with an audio submission, a question, a topic of sorts from the Wrestle Cave. So I'm going to admit straight off the bat that this topic, it's a little outside of the realm of wrestling figures. It's a little outside of the realm of professional wrestling, but it's something that parallels wrestling. It's something that's paralleled wrestling figures, and it's kind of been interwoven, the history of the two things. And the topic I'm referring to is the topic of Rocky. Specifically, I'd like to hear your thoughts and memories about the Jax 2006-ish era Rocky line that came out. Now, as a longtime collector and someone that loved the Jax Classic Superstar series, I was pretty excited when I heard that they were going to get the Rocky line. Not that I intended to dive into the Rocky line as deeply as I would wrestling, but for the opportunity to expand my wrestling roster, my wrestling collection, with some characters and some figures that I just wasn't going to be able to get otherwise, the Rocky line opened up this opportunity, and it was pretty exciting. It gave us really quite a few different figures that fit in the wrestling world. The one that I was probably the most excited about was the referee figure. It was our first chance to get a classic blue-shirted, bow-tied referee, and I honestly bought probably half a dozen of them, especially once they went on sale at KB Toys, to make sure that my arena had an arsenal of referees to handle all the action. They also had Sean Stasiak meet, although the scan was really off. The body looked weird and like fleshy, and it just didn't look like what I remembered Stasiak to look like. Probably the ones that people were most excited for was Hulk Hogan as Thunderlips, and even more important than that would be Clubber Lang, Mr. T. It was the first time that we were going to get the opportunity to get a in-scale Mr. T to put right alongside our Hulk Hogan's. That was really cool. Later in the line, we even got a Michael Buffer for our WCW shows. So a lot of cool things from the Rocky line that fit in with the Jax line, with the Jax WWE Classic Superstars line, all things that I had good memories about. I just wanted to see if you guys collected these, what your thoughts were at the time, memories, anything you can share about the Rocky line. Thanks for taking my question. LJN Rick Rude stinks, and as my voice trails off into sight, I wish you boys a happy fig life. Peace, guys. Love you.
Thank you, Nate, for throwing that last error or botchamania in my way, but that was actually hilarious. You made us pop over here over that one.
That was so good.
So the Rocky figures I was excited about, but at the same time, 2006, 2007 was a time when I was just starting to hit my money issues. And money was super tight. So trying to take on another collection outside of McFarlane's and WWF figures, it just wasn't happening. I love the figures. I will say that. I love the Hogan figure. I thought they did a fantastic job. He came with that red outfit. They did such a great job on those figures. You're right. I don't remember the Stasiak. Do you, Scott?
No, not at all. I didn't know that they made a Sean Stasiak in that one.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I remember the Mr. T. Just awesome figures. As I said, I didn't collect them. Now, if you want to talk about the Remco's original Rockies, oh, let's go all the way back to those. Those were something else, Scott.
Yeah, I think actually we still have those old Remco Rocky figures laying around somewhere. The Rocky was fantastic. He had the little plastic gloves you could put on his hand. I think you had Clubber Lang. I think I had Rocky, and I don't remember if we had the Hogan or not.
We didn't have Hogan, but we had Mr. T.
Yeah, we had Mr. T and we had Rocky. You're right. I think they bought us one each. So yeah, we did have those. We were able to collect those. But yeah, with the Jax guys, Jeff, I'm a lot like you. Money was tight then, and pretty much any and all extra slush fund that I had went towards Classic Superstars. So I didn't invest anything into the Rocky line. But looking back, I wish I would have. Some of those figures now are pretty valuable. And they also released a title belt, the one that Rocky had that was really colorful. It was like the red, white, and blue strap, the gold plate. And that thing goes for quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. And I had seen it multiple times, and I wish I had picked it up because it actually goes for quite a bit now, as well as some of the figures do as well. Just I never was able to buy any of them, but just one of those things that you walk into the store, you see the pegs of Rocky figures, you walk up, you admire them. Oh, look, there's Hogan. That figure's great. Oh, there's the Mick. He looks fantastic. There's Rocky and all of his different outfits. He looks awesome. I wish I could have bought more of them. I would have loved to have bought an Ivan Drago figure. Yep. I would have loved to have bought an Apollo, Clubber Lang, obviously, to get the Mr. T. Would have loved to have grabbed a Hogan. I didn't have the funds to do it. Everything was going to my WWF line at the time, or WWE line, the Classic Superstars. So I missed out on all those great Rocky figures.
And the killer is that you did see them red pen down. You would see them marked down to like $7.99 or $6.99 at KB Toys or...
Yeah, Walmart too.
Yeah, and at Toys R Us, they were in the clearance bin.
Yes, I remember that. And I wish I could have picked them up. I never did. I would have loved to have at least one Rocky. I think that would have been cool. If I had one like wish list, it would have been Clubber Lang for sure. But I would have loved to have just gotten one Rocky figure. Just to be able to open it and display it. Because Rocky's, it's an iconic character. But yeah, it just sucks we missed out on that line, dude.
So that's the honest to God truth over here, man. We were just hitting money troubles. It was a tough time, and it's the way it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we love Rocky. If you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, that's what kind of kicked off Hulkamania, was the Thunderlips character in Rocky III. That kicked off the wrestling craze. That was really at the forefront of it. So we've got a lot of love and a lot of respect for Rocky, just we couldn't afford the figures is what it comes down to.
So Nate, thank you. Screw the LJN Rick Rude.
yeah, screw him.
Yeah,
and his non-posing arms.
Scott, Josh Thompson sent in his weekly question. He said, "Hey Jeff, I know you don't like your secret question segment that much."
Well, you don't like when you get secret questions.
Yeah, I don't like when I get secret questions. Yes. What are you doing over here, Josh?
I love this. You're being swerved on right in front of my eyes. I love it. Watch you squirm.
Make me think. What are you doing? So I thought I'd give you a question that might perk you up a bit. It's a normal sunny day when all of a sudden you look on Twitter and hear glorious news. FTC now has NJPW line. With that said, who would you like to see in the first series? Anybody from NJPW, even the ROH guys, is fair game. Go. Okay, so
hold on, just getting out his scroll. He's unraveling it now with his list of 2,000 names.
So obviously, if they do four guys right off the bat for NJPW Series 1.
Just going off of what they did for ROH, right?
Yeah.
Like an NJPW Series 1. Four guys, just like they did for ROH Series 1.
So obviously the four guys is... The main four guys in NJPW is Okada, Tanahashi, Omega, and Naito. Well, they've already done an Omega figure, which they could technically still do and put out another one. But I'm going to take Omega out, and I'm going to throw one name in there, and it's a guy I'm a huge mark for. It's Kota Ibushi.
Oh, yeah. Dude, his match with Cody at WK12? Wow.
Yeah. He doesn't wear anything flashy to the ring, but... I want a Kota Ibushi figure. I'm a huge fan of his.
Not Takahashi with Daryl?
Series 2.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I like that. I like what you're thinking.
By the way, side note, I got Celeste her last Christmas gift, and it just came in. It's a Daryl.
Where's the mark button?
Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wait, is that for Celeste or for me?
Hit it again. It's for both of you.
Mark.
There you go.
Mark.
Well, hey, what did I do? Don't do that three times.
So, anyways, that would be my first four.
That's a good first four.
Yeah, series two, I would go a Kushida.
Yes, dude, that was going to be the guy that I was going to throw out.
Takahashi.
Yes, with Daryl.
With Daryl. And I know he's not a big, big name in NJPW right now, but I would go with Evil.
Oh, that's, you know what? That'd be an awesome looking figure.
That's exactly why I would jump all over that one for series two.
Yes.
Series 2, fourth figure.
Ishii?
No, I would go Ishii.
Oh, I like him.
Screw it, Jericho.
No, they can't.
No, I know.
Not yet.
Man, a fourth one for Series 2.
Marty Scurll?
Yeah, they could go Marty.
Will Ospreay?
They could go Will Ospreay.
Zack Sabre Jr.?
They could go Sabre Jr.
How about Juice Robinson?
I would love a Juice Robinson figure.
I would too. I agree. It's funny. That guy, his NXT character, compared to his NJPW persona, dude, night and day. Night and day. He is so much better in NJPW.
That's what I said to Breaker. I was like, I messaged Breaker one day and I was like, dude, when did Juice Robinson get this good?
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, he's always had it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the sad part. It's there. Just, it was squelched.
Yeah, he goes, he wasn't going to put on these amazing matches in 3 minutes on NXT.
No, especially being the goofball character that he was. He didn't have a chance.
I remember when I was watching him in NJPW, I was like, oh, that's where, what was his character in NXT?
CJ Parker?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's where CJ Parker went, because I saw him on Access TV. And then I watch him have this match, and I forget who it was against, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, dude, that guy can go.
Dude, no joke. I was like, where was this the whole time?
Yeah. So would he round out your series too?
Let's throw a Juice Parker.
I love it.
Sorry. Let's throw in Juice Robinson.
I like it. That's a solid series too. I love the inclusion of Kushida in that. That kid's good.
But series one, that first four would be Kota, Naito, Okada, and Tanahashi.
Could you imagine the beauty of an Okada figure from FTC? Just think about it for a minute.
They would spend a year just making the jacket and getting it down to a T.
Dude, his outfit from WK12, if they could capture that, those pants were ridiculous. Like, ridiculously awesome. Like, if they could do the pants and get the jacket, get kind of the look on his face, the hair, that figure would be just... Like, just kind of close your eyes for a minute and picture Okada and then transition that over to an FTC figure of him. That's just money. They'd be printing their own Okada money at that point.
It was funny. Marty DeRosa, after Wrestle Kingdom 12, sent out a poll, and it said, okay, poll time. Okada pants or no pants?
Duh, no pants.
Right. I voted no pants.
Just the jacket, big boy.
So that would be my series one for sure.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Scott, one of our questions from Twitter came in from Dustin Meyer. He says he wants us to talk about the Marty Scurll figure from Rev Pro. So for a lot of people that haven't seen it, I saw this figure when I was at WrestleCon this past year in Orlando. The figure is a bigger plastic figure. So picture a bigger Hasbro figure, but with less articulation, I guess.
Well, Hasbro's were like, what, 3 to 4 inches tall? So this was what, like 6 inches tall?
6 to 7, around there, yeah.
And it was the hard plastic like a Hasbro.
Yeah, and the only movable joints was the arms, and it was bent at the elbow. They did a good job capturing it. It looked a little off in my eyes, and that's why I didn't buy it. And I was tempted to buy it at WrestleCon, but I ended up passing. The Rev Pro figures, they were supposed to have make three more figures. And it was supposed to be Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr., and Jimmy Havoc. Those were three that were supposed to come out. On the back of the card of the Rev Pro figure, Marty Scurll figure, they showed Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay, but it wasn't in figure form. It was just a picture of those guys on the back of the card.
Okay.
I had to actually phone a friend on this one. I had to phone my buddy Fred on this one and talk to him a little bit about it, because he bought it this past year. And he says the figure's okay. He goes, it's not anything to hoop and holler over. He goes, it's cool. He goes, but it's okay.
Well, I think it's missing the integral parts of Marty Scurll, being his jacket, his mask, his umbrella. I think right. If you're going to release a Scurll figure, it has to have those elements to it. Again, who can do that well?
I think FTC could do a good job. I'm wondering how Mattel would tackle that. I bet you they could do a good job on that figure.
Yes, I agree with you. They've kind of challenged masks a little bit with like the Wyatt family, the most recent Miz Elite figure. I think that they do a really good job with that. My concern would be the jacket would be molded. So again, once you get that jacket off, good luck getting it back on.
Right, right.
That's my only issue with if Mattel did like an Elite Marty Scurll. But obviously, we have a better shot of having FTC do him this year.
So that is the Marty Scurll Rev Pro figure.
What was the price tag on that thing?
At WrestleCon, it was, I think they were charging $25 for it.
So more expensive than an Elite and no accessories.
Correct.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You'd have to be a huge Scurll fan.
The card is cool. It's got a picture of Marty in the back. It says Rev Pro. It's pretty cool, but, you know, running around WrestleCon getting autographs, I didn't have that much extra cash.
Right, right. Yeah, you were so kind of tied up financially. And you're already a heel to your wallet anyway, so.
Scott, the last question comes in from at, on Twitter also, at WWF Hasbro Maniacs. And he wants to know, what are your thoughts on custom figures, Scott?
I love them when done well. I don't ever knock a custom. I try not to anyway. You know, everybody's tried, but there are those ones that people just try to pass off and you can tell that they kind of half-assed it and they try to sell them and you're like, come on, dude, really? Like, don't do that. I really don't knock them when they're part of somebody's collection. Like, they're just getting into it or they've only done a couple and they're making them for themselves. Dude, more power to you. I've never had the guts to do it really aside from a simple paint application. So people that are like taking heads off of Hasbros and disassembling bodies and, you know, these Frankenstein Hasbros, more power to you. Keep them coming. I love to see them on Twitter. People do the shots of like, you know, custom figures and custom Hasbros and custom Mattels. I dig it. The more the merrier out there. What irks me is when people try to sell them off and you can tell that they half-assed it. That bothers me. But when people do it for their own collection, hey, more power to you. I don't judge. I think they're all really cool. I just don't have the guts to do it myself. I'll open a figure so I can take it one step further than you, Jeff. I can actually open a figure. But to actually like break it apart and start Frankensteining some things to make a better figure, I don't have the guts to do it. Number one, I'm not that crafty. Number two, I was just never the type to want to break my toys. I couldn't do it. I just really couldn't. But, you know, your finer customizers out there, like I'll throw them out there again, Scribble 24. That guy does killer work. And actually, Rant with Ant just had a custom Owen Hart made. And it's phenomenal. It looks really, really good. So I love him personally. I love to see him. But as far as purchasing to add to my collection, I have not done that. And to be honest, I don't think that I ever will.
I'm actually following a page on Facebook, and there's a guy that does custom Hasbros. And I just scrolled through earlier today, and he did a custom Magnum TA Hasbro.
Oh, I saw that one, dude. That one's awesome.
That was amazing. That was an amazing custom. I was like, it blew me away. Magnum had on the red trunks.
Yep.
He had on the white and red cowboy boots. The face just screamed Magnum TA. Like, you scrolled through and you're like, oh, that's Magnum TA. Oh, in Hasbro form. That's fantastic.
And didn't he actually put like an old US title on him too? Or the old TV title or something?
That one I didn't see.
Okay.
I didn't see that one. There's a lot of people that do custom Hasbros on Facebook that I kind of follow. So they do such an amazing paint jobs. They'll take a Bret Hart, redo the outfit. They'll make a custom Owen Hart as the King of Hearts. It's just, they do such a great job.
Yep.
And also Scribbles 24, he blows you away every single time he does a custom.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's expensive, but if you're looking to purchase a custom, he's definitely your guy.
Yeah. The only custom that I've ever purchased was that El Generico from Devin.
Yeah, dude, Devin, amazing work.
Yeah. And he had actually stopped for a while, too.
Yep.
Devin used to be a photographer for Ring of Honor. Still does photography for local independent promotions. And he is just, when he actually sits down, has the time, and does a custom, oh, my God.
Yeah, definitely multi-talented. He can make figures. He can take killer-looking pictures. When he used to photograph for PWG, yes. That guy would just take killer shots, and then you're like, oh, you can customize figures too? Holy crap, dude. That guy's really talented.
I actually, on the refrigerator, still have one of his pictures up. It's El Generico giving a haluva kick to Nick Jackson.
Yep.
I still have that up on the fridge. I would love to get those two to sign it.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
if I could ever run into Generico again. Oh,
well, you know, next time you go to Tijuana, look him up.
Yeah, I'm down in TJ all the time, dude.
Yeah, just hunt down one of those orphanages, and I'm sure he's there.
So, Scott, that rounds out the listener segment. Scott, I want you to express feelings on the movie Beyond the Mat.
Oh, dude. Honestly, I've watched it, I think, 2 or 3 times. The last time being probably in like 2000 or 2001. Kind of sad.
Which parts?
The Jake parts.
Yeah.
Those were just like soul crushing, dude. Like, that was one of your heroes from your childhood. And now the dude's like on Skid Row. He's got a drug addiction. I mean, it's great to see where he's at now, you know, in 2018, because we know he's doing way better now. But dude, back in like 99, like, that was just like soul crushing. It was cool seeing a lot of the APW guys, especially since you and your buddies in high school did a lot of recording for APW.
Yep.
So it was kind of neat to see APW be included in that. I would love to go back and watch it again. It's been honestly about 16 years. 16 to 17 years since the last time I watched it. I need to go rewatch it. It's very powerful, and it shows you the state of wrestling in the 90s, specifically like the mid to late 90s. Pretty powerful, especially the parts about Jake. It shows what the road did to some of those guys back then and explains a lot of those deaths that started happening in the early to mid 2000s. You can kind of see why. A lot of wear and tear on those guys, man. It's just, it's sad, and it's a very powerful movie.
That movie was like one of those first movies where they took it backstage and they kind of showed you behind the scenes stuff, and it was actually in film, and it was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. You know, the APW stuff, we were there at that time. That was awesome. You know, I still remember the night that Roland told us about a film crew coming, and we were like, we're your film crew. And he's like, yeah, but this is actual film crew. It's going to be in the movies. And I was like, okay, he didn't really fill us in that much regarding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we just see these cameras come flying in, and we're like, what the hell is going on? You know? So then finally, I forget who told us, Modest or Donovan, were like, yeah, it's going to be a movie. It's pretty big. It's going to be in theaters. I was like, oh, crap. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So you knew about it way before it even came out.
Foley, that whole thing with Foley when Rock was only supposed to give him, what, 3 chair shots?
Yeah, it ended up being like 17 or 20.
Yeah, that one was kind of powerful because you just saw his kids in the front row and you're like, ooh, you know, they're watching their dad.
Yeah, it's still real to them, damn it.
So that was, I really, really liked Beyond the Mat because it was that breaking down the fourth wall and going inside and seeing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't want to look behind the curtain. And I think that was more the case for me on that, especially the parts with Jake, seeing how he was with his daughter. That just, it was really sad. And that was kind of a tough watch for me. So I do need to go back and visit that one again. Like I said, it's been a good over 15 years since I've seen it. So I need to go rewatch it again, you know, knowing that Jake's way better now. But that was the one part about Beyond the Mat that really got to me, was seeing Jake's condition in that movie. It was really sad.
And Scott, express feelings on Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Wow. So I've only seen the 3-hour episode that Axis aired. And I think they gave us, what, 4 or 5 matches in that one?
Yeah.
Loved Kota versus Cody. That was fantastic. What a match. You're right about Kota, dude. That kid can go. And Jericho and Omega, what can you say? Outstanding. The fact that Jericho is in his mid-40s and can put on a match like that with a guy 10 years younger, just phenomenal. Jericho absolutely made the right decision to go over to NJPW and have that match. And now he can kind of pick his spots. So good for him. You know, he's not dependent on WWE at all. He's doing his own thing. He's kind of a gun for hire, and I dig that position for him. It's great. I loved the card. The Omega and Jericho match, absolutely phenomenal. Okada and Naito, wow. Both of those guys, phenomenal athletes. The right guy won. I'm glad that they're keeping the belt on Okada. But Naito, what a talent. The end of that match was just nuts. I thought that that belt was going to Naito a couple of times. And they just tore it down, dude. Just a great show. I'm excited to see the next 3 hours that Axis shows this coming Friday, which is before the podcast drops on Sunday, but I'm excited to watch it Friday night. I want to see that extra 3 hours. You had mentioned the four-way is just phenomenal in that.
I don't think it's 3 hours, dude. I think it's just a normal hour show.
Oh, it is? It's not a 3 hour?
I don't believe so.
Oh, dude, because how long is Wrestle Kingdom? It's like a 5-6 hour show, right?
It was a 5 hour show, but a lot of it was like the pre-show stuff.
Okay.
At least I don't think it is 3 hours. I don't remember seeing anything saying it was 3 hours.
Okay, gosh, so it's only an hour then. Well, I'm definitely going to record it for that match. You said it was really good, and I wanted to see it anyway, and I was actually disappointed it wasn't on that 3 hour special.
Mark.
Oh, call me a Mark on NJPW. How dare you?
I was scrolling through Twitter, and I was kind of reading what people were saying about Wrestle Kingdom, and all of it was positive. One person said it best, though. With Jericho and Omega, it wasn't Jericho's best match, but it was Jericho's best performance.
Hmm.
And I went back and I watched the match again on Saturday night when it was on Access, and I agree. I completely agree. Jericho just got to play this evil villain heel that just is out to just destroy Kenny Omega.
Yeah, he plays a jerk really well.
He did that perfectly. I was impressed. I loved it. But I agree, it wasn't his best match, but the match that they put on telling the story of how much they disliked each other, fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, my favorite Jericho match is still WrestleMania 19.
Oh, with Michaels?
Against HBK, yes. But I would agree that that's probably his best character performance was against Omega. He got to play his character to a T in that match, and yeah, just a phenomenal job by both guys. Omega is an amazing talent, and honestly, NJPW is lucky to have him.
And he's going to be staying with NJPW. I believe his contract is up in February, but he's already staying with them.
Yeah, that's good. Lucky them.
I know, right? Scott, thank you for expressing feelings today.
Yes, no problem. Glad I got that off my chest.
And you know what could be on your chest, Scott? And everybody else's chest?
Wow, good segue, dude. That didn't sound forced at all.
Is our Wrestling Figure Fest shirt.
You're selling it so well, dude. You're laughing at your own segue into it. That's fantastic. You're quite the salesman.
Sorry, I kind of broke character on that one.
Don West you are not. You're more like Don East.
That's what... Don Ghetto.
Yeah. Wow.
Don Comedy Club. Dude, I'm so excited for this shirt. Extra Cooler did a great job on it.
Yes, he did.
He did an amazing job. I love in the background how it has Fully Posable kind of off to the side behind us. Up above on the curtain, it says WFP. Extra Cooler just crushed it.
Yeah, my favorite part, honestly, is that Saturday night's main event logo, the font on the front of the ring cart.
Excellent job. I love the touches. Due to certain maybe infringements, we had to change my knee pads because we had the Warrior logo on my knee pads.
Yes. Yes.
So Extra Cooler and I came up with putting our logo on there. So when you guys get your shirts, you can see the Fully Posable logo of Scott and I kind of posing right on the knee pads. I loved it. That's my favorite touch. I'm so glad we took off the Warrior face paint on there because we got to put that on there and I love it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. The shirt looks great. And everybody that already purchased one, thank you so much. We truly appreciate it. Again, all of those funds just go back into the show. They go into creating our next designs, more ideas and whatnot. So thank you guys.
Yes, thank you very much. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes like Kay Dunlap did tonight. Thank you very much. You can send us any audio questions like Nate, aka Ring Skirts, did, or any questions at all like Josh Thompson sent in his weekly one. FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. You can also send us questions on Twitter that we try to keep up with, like Dustin Meyer and WWF Hasbro Maniacs. Scott, our 2-year anniversary is in the books.
Yes, we're officially in our terrible twos.
Yeah, we're going to start whining and crying about everything now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go full heel mode. Watch us.
we're gonna be stomping our feet to the bedroom.
Right.
Scott, we're 2 years old. That's it, man.
Yep. Terrible twos, here we come. I hope the listeners enjoy. These next 2 years are gonna be rough. Hope you guys make it through it.
So, Scott, for episode 104 and 2 year anniversary, anything else?
Yes, please make sure on Twitter, go follow at ExtraCooler and at JasonWLF. Those are the guys responsible for the Wrestle Figure Fest shirt and the upcoming Hasbro Cardback shirt. Amazing work from these guys. Continue to follow them. They're doing awesome work out there. Continue to follow at Pollyanna DIY. The dude's still putting out awesome products. And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.